Radio Daily for halfway day yet again. We're so close to a weekend. It's like it's here, it's gone, it's here, it's gone. I'm sure there's a metaphor for that, but I just can't put my finger on it. I could, but it's gone. Ooh, welcome to the 12th of February, everybody. We are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and YouTubes and all kinds of places and occasionally Mastodon, just because I love saying it. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man who's testing out a new life philosophy, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Boy, I do not envy whoever has to clean that mess up.
That's not a thing. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Oh, son. Not this nonsense again.
I'm afraid so. It's another weekday. What happened this fine day, sir?
Damn it, Simba. 1877, the first news dispatch using a telephone in the U.S. is sent from Salem, Massachusetts to the Boston Globe.
1879, the first artificial ice rink in North America is opened at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
1884, Thomas Edison is issued patents for an electric generator or motor, insulation of railroad tracks used for electrical circuits, incandescent electric lamp, and an electrical meter.
1887, Thomas Edison creates the first sound recording on a four-wrap cylinder with an Edisonophone. The recording is him freestyling Mary Had a Little Lamb.
With Watson in the background just beatboxing. 1889, Thomas Edison is issued two patents, one for a method of winding field magnets and another for a phonograph.
Interesting word missing from those stories. 1898, the first car crash fatality occurs in Purley Corners, Surrey, England. Harry Lindenfield dies when his electric car's steering gear malfunctions, causing him to crash into an iron post at the foot of a hill. His femoral artery is severed, and following an amputation, will die of shock the next day.
So I'm sorry, you said electric car in 1898.
Yep, we've been able to do this for a long time. I wonder what keeps that from happening.
1908, the first round-the-world automobile race starts in New York City. It will end in Paris, France in July. The drivers of the American car, a Thomas Speedway Flyer, manufactured by the E.R. Thomas Motor Company of Buffalo, New York, win the competition, beating out teams from Germany and Italy. The Flyer was initially driven by Montague Roberts and George Schuster, but Roberts dropped out of the race in Wyoming.
That's because he followed the detour sign that the Really Rottens put up. 1940, the adventure series The Adventures of Superman premieres on Mutual Radio Station WOR in New York City. The groundbreaking series will be of enormous importance to the advancement of radio, the popularization of comics. It also gave us Perry White, Jimmy Olsen, and Kryptonite.
1941, Ernst Boris Chain and Howard Walter Florey administer the first injection of penicillin into a human test subject.
1950, Albert Einstein makes a guest appearance on a weekly TV show hosted by Eleanor Roosevelt just 2 weeks following President Truman's announcement of a program to build a hydrogen bomb. Einstein takes the opportunity to voice his opposition to the program. The bomb, not the actual show he was on.
I'm fine with blowing crap up, but I do not approve of the format of this show.
1950, Albert Einstein makes a guest appearance. Wait, hold on. You just read that one. 1961, the USSR launches the world's first planetary space probe, the Venera 1, on a mission to Venus.
1983, that small plastic thing that restaurants put in the center of a pizza to prevent the lid from pressing down on the pizza, sometimes called a package saver, is invented in New Jersey.
Oh, I thought it was a table for G.I. Joe figures, so it's not?
Nope. Okay.
I mean, how else are they going to play poker? 2001, the U.S. Ninth Court of Appeals upholds the lower court's decision against Napster, ordering the company to stop facilitating the unauthorized swapping of copyrighted material.
2005, Europe's most powerful rocket, an updated version of the Ariane 5, is successfully launched for the first time with a Spanish military telecommunications satellite, the microsatellite SlushSat.
2006, the U.S. Senate votes to grant immunity to telecommunications companies for the role in creating the NSA call database, an enormous record of telephone calls made from the four largest telephone carriers in the United States.
2010, at 4:44 GMT, the United States Missile Defense Agency successfully shoots down a ballistic missile using the Boeing YAL, the YAL-1, a military Boeing 747-400 jumbo jet equipped with a chemical oxygen iodine laser in the first successful test of a futuristic directed energy weapon.
They couldn't have shot it at a house full of popcorn.
Birthdays?
The very lovely Christina Ricci is 40 years old. She, of course, was in Black Snake Moan. Oh, yeah, and Speed Racer, Pan Am, Terra, and Teen Titans, Judas Contract. Ah, but let's face it, most of us just fell in love with her as Wednesday Addams.
Indeed. Sarah Lancaster is 40, from Everwood, Chuck, and Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Jesse Gordon Spencer, 41, from House and Chicago Fire.
Cliff Bleszinski is 45, developed the Unreal franchise.
Tara Strong, 46, She was in National Lampoon's Senior Trip in Big Time Rush, and we appreciate for her being on camera. However, she's most known for her amazing voice work in Fairly Odd Parents, My Little Pony, Teen Titans. If you are 20 years old, she was the voice of your childhood.
Scott Menville is 49. He was Robin on Teen Titans, and he got to hang out with her.
Josh Brolin, 52, from Men in Black 3, True Grit, Goonies. Big fan of snapping.
John Michael Higgins is 57 from Pitch Perfect, the voice of Blackstone on Legend of Korra, and of course was in the American version of Kath and Kim for the one season it survived.
And I swear to God, he needs to play Fred Willard's kid in something, anything. I don't care what it is. He needs to play it.
Fair by me.
Arsenio Hall is 64 from Thick of the Night, Real Ghostbusters, Amazon Women on the Moon, Coming to America, Harlem Nights, Igor, Black Dynamite.
Dynamite! Dynamite!
And noted kennel enthusiast.
Joanna Kearns is 67. That's Maggie from Growing Pains.
Man with a magic voice. Michael Ironside, 70 years old, from V, X-Men First Class, Scanners, oh my God, Starship Troopers, I think Tom Clancy Splinter Cell games.
Yeah.
Just an amazing voice, long career.
Cliff DeYoung is 75 years of age from Flight of the Navigator, FX2, and will forever be remembered as Shock Treatment, finally getting to play Brad since he didn't get to in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Judy Bloom, 82, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, Super Fudge, Are You There, God? It's me, Margaret.
Hey, they're making a movie. Joe Don Baker is 84 years of age from Walking Tall, from Fletch, from Mitchell.
Also, don't forget, he's one of the few people to play a good guy in a James Bond movie, and then in the next movie, a bad guy.
Oh, fair point.
Born this day no longer with us, 1809, Charles Darwin, English geologist and theorist, and noted turtle expert.
1898, Wallace Ford, an English-American actor and singer from Stranger in Town, Freaks, and The Man from Laramie.
1907, Joseph Kearns, American actor. He was Mr. Wilson on TV's Dennis the Menace.
1915, Lauren Green, Canadian-American actor from Bonanza, Battlestar Galactica, wrote The Destructors. You're welcome, Donnie Darko fans.
Also, fun fact, apparently there was a Bonanza comic at one point in time, and he was in there shirtless and was yoked, just ridiculously buff. 1919, Forrest Tucker, American actor and singer, F Troop and the Ghostbusters.
1940, Richard Lynch, an American actor and producer from Sword and the Sorcerer, Bad Dreams, and of course, Galactica.
80.
On CBS, we've got Greatest of the Greats on a new Survivor and two new Criminal Minds.
ABC, we got the Goldbergs, Schooled, Single Parents.
Single Parents is really good. NBC has the Chai Try with your meds, your fires, your pins.
Fox has a new episode of The Masked Singer, and then Space Smash on a new Lego Masters.
CW New Riverdale, Katie struggles to manage the pressures of her day job at Lacey's department store on the premiere of Katie Jean.
God, I hope she's able to fold everything. Freeform, Lucia decides to host a fundraiser at the restaurant and finds her voice along the way on a new Party of Five, followed by Good Trouble.
AMC has Bride Wars.
Two brides enter. FX Transformers Age of Extinction, which is what she's going to be if she doesn't win the Bride Wars.
FXM, you're killing me, Smalls. It's The Sandlot.
National Geographic Channel, King of Weed on a new Locked Up Abroad.
Doesn't sound like he's the king, then, if he got... IFC has Watchmen.
You know, these, you know, tyrannies always end. And BBC America's showing Saving Private Ryan, because someone has to. Spoilers, by the way. They save him. It's in the title.
Yeah. Does he get promoted, or is he still a private by the end?
I don't care.
Siffy has Katie Punches a Man, Margot Wants to Use Cocaine, and Elliot and Margot Have a Bad Day on a new The Magicians.
Oh, no. Turner Classic Movies has the original Jack Benny to be or not to be.
Ooh. TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT is showing Godzilla, not the very, very original, but the newest original.
USA has WWE Next, brother. NXT.
We're watching the Lifetime Movie Network tonight because a woman begins to suspect her husband is cheating. She discovers he's living a double life with another woman and her life is in jeopardy. She also uncovers his illegal business activities that he intends to protect at all cost. Amy Nuttall and Daniel Lapine star in My Husband's Double Life.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. A dilemma arises at the hospital when two infants need life-saving transplants and there is only one donor. Paging Dr. Solomon, paging Dr. Solomon. Dr. Abby treats a drug addict, and we all know what a Leviathan that is to overcome. Chad and Stefan must locate a runaway dog, and I bet Chad's gonna win. He's so fast, it's like he's got wings. He's 9 times as fast as Stefan. Heck, maybe he can catch that fugitive from yesterday. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Hi, geeks. My dog catcher rescued the rest of one of your episodes. I heard one of you say that Texas Chainsaw Massacre was going away. I'm not all that into splatter movies, but I decided to mess with the meaning of the title. Oh no, Pulsifier is repairing all the chainsaws. The poor chainsaws. Someone save them. I love good omens. Well, back to work. That is from Bill. Bill, you need to develop that, man. You've got an idea there. You shouldn't leave us hanging like that. By all means, we'd like to see a full project. If you'd like to back that project in any way, shape, or form, I'm sure Bill would love to know. Why don't you tell us and we'll tell him? Drop that note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or of course, send yourself an email to
510-GRD-CURL.
And you do send it to yourself because you'll hear it when we play it. I wasn't wrong. Not this time.
Hey, what's going on? I'm Steven.
And I'm Ron.
And we're the hosts of the Super Retro Throwback Reviews audio podcast.
If you like to hear the latest pop culture news with some smart-ass commentary as well as the latest movie reviews, then check us out.
Also, we're a multi-award nominated podcast, so we're doing something right.
God knows how that happened.
So check us out on all major podcasts and distributors, and check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on all social media platforms.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
He doesn't mean school. He just means out of society and what the man wants you to do. Damn.
He's talking about drugs.
I can dig it.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Speaking of drugs, what's available at the comic book shop today, sir?
From DC Comics, we've got Batman's Grave, 5 of 12. Dollhouse Family, 4 of 6, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, wrapping up with 6 of 6, and in the wake of the Black Star incursion, Hal Jordan and his fellow Lanterns must pick up the pieces from that cataclysmic conclusion. Among them is Jordan's next critical mission, search for the next generation of cosmic immortals. Is the universe ready for The Young Guardians in Green Lantern, Season 2, Number 1.
Over at Marvel, it's Iron Man 2020, Number 2 of 6. Nebula kicks off 5. Spirits, Ghost Rider, Mother of Demons gets a Number 1. And then learn the never-before-told origin of Gwen Stacy. Top of her class, daughter of the police captain. Her friend Harry Osborn calls her the beauty queen of Standard High. But she's way more than you've ever known. Gwen's got a science brain, a nose for trouble, a no-quit attitude that always gets her in trouble. In the early Marvel Universe, that's a recipe for disaster. Don't miss Gwen, Captain Stacy, Harry, and Norman Osborn, Crime Master, Wilson Fisk, Jean DeWolf, Yuri Watanabe, and even Spider-Man in Gwen Stacy, 1 of 5.
Dynamite Entertainment brings us Death to the Army of Darkness, Number 1. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Number 12. James Bond, Number 3. From Boom Studios, we've got Ghosted in L.A., 8 of 12. Hellmouth, Number 5. Saban's Go-Go Power Rangers, Number 12. I'm sorry, 29. And three teenagers, each an outcast in their own way, stumble upon an unearthly entity as it's born. As they bond over the shared secret and the creature's incredible abilities, it becomes clear to the teenagers that their cute little pet is a super predator in the making. Sounds like somebody watched Season 2 of Stranger Things. And it's in need of prey. Guided by the best intentions at first, the teen's decisions soon become corrupted by adolescent desires, small-town jealousies, and internal rivalries, sending them into a catastrophic spiral of their own making. In Alienated, 1 of 6.
From Titan Publishing Group, Tank Girl Full Color Classics, number 3.2. IDW Publishing, Dungeons & Dragons, Infernal Tides, number 2 of 5, Rising Sun, 2 of 3. Bookish Glyph wants a challenge to do work for Xeno Relations, not just data analysis. Athletic Tapout needs a challenge. His boxing career isn't working out so well. When one mission presents both of them a chance to meet new challenges head-on, will they be able to lift each other up to the task, or will they just get in each other's way? Robomance is real in this adventure focusing on love in the Transformers universe. The perfect gift for Valentine's Day or any romantic occasion, it's Transformers Valentine's Day Special.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Hey, have you heard about that new Harley Quinn movie?
I have, and in fact, it was number one. You saw it, I saw it.
No. That was Birds of Prey.
Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm speaking of Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
What?
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, the Suicide Squad spinoff, features Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn front and center in a very own movie. It has now been renamed Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey.
I'm fine with that. At least means that there's a new cut.
No, actually, it's just box office weirdness. Birds of Prey opened $33 million domestically, global take of 84.5. Not great, also not a flop, but Warner's expected much more out of this colorful and fun R-rated comic book movie with a budget of $80 to $100 million. The film should break even, maybe even profit, word of mouth, but it should have been much, 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 much more. What happened?
The coronavirus bringing the world market down.
Some say the R rating.
Deadpool disagrees.
Maybe it was the February release.
Black Panther disagrees.
Was it the marketing? The crazy long title? The fact WB does not understand how popular Harley Quinn is?
We have mad love for Harley.
So now, much like the horribly titled Edge of Tomorrow, which basically became Live, Die, Repeat on video, Harley Quinn officially has a movie with Birds of Prey in it.
Which is appropriate, since the TV Birds of Prey gave us our very first live-action Harley.
Maybe this will help. Word of mouth definitely should, because Margot Robbie deserves some more movies as Harley. I mean,
yes.
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn is almost as good as a sloppy egg and cheese sandwich!
In news that we can't believe never happened before, current Neopets owner Jumpstart Games has teamed with Beach House Pictures to make a cartoon happen.
The hardest part of a journey is to choose to make it. Dangers are greatest in the heart, where fear can magnify them.
I still think it's bears. The planned animated series is still in the early stages of development, hence the might in the headline. But Jumpstart and Beach House haven't finalized a format or even a style yet, and they do know they'll be targeting children ages 8 to early teens, just like the long-running website.
She who waits for a sign must sit in the dark. She who puts a hand to the door and goes out will find herself in a well-lit place of friends.
A Neopets animated series, look, does make sense. The website has been selling animated characters and accessories since 1999. Characters like that blue cat-looking thing and those little dragons have been worked their way into kids' brains and the service-pioneered kid-targeted microtransactions.
Everything is a game. A vile, evil, delightful game.
The animated series is the latest step in Jumpstart Games' plan to revitalize the brand. The company purchased Neopets from Viacom in 2014 and has been trying to restore it to its former glory ever since. The closest they've come so far is a 2015 incident where the site's adult filters broke, filling the site's forums with profanity and lewd images. It is not enough to be king in one's dreams. One must seek to be king while awake. Your time is coming. Whether you are prepared or not.
If you've ever played The Sims 4 at any point at all, you might have heard the name Scumbumbo, a gifted modder. He was also a major figure in the game's community, always lending a hand to help others improve their own creations. He died last year, but his work was so important to players, they're carrying on his site and carrying on his mods.
Ooh, chiblets.
A group of fans, friends, and fellow modders have taken over the running of Scumbumbo's personal site, working behind the scenes to make sure that the game updates. His mods are updated as well to remain compatible and accessible to other players, because if they didn't, every time EA patched the almost six-year-old game, they'd be at risk of, you know, becoming unstable. Those mods cover all kinds of different topics, from gardening, to pregnancy, to divorce, to tattoos for kids.
Ravishing.
Patient and ready to help those less knowledgeable and with a sense of humor about it all mixed in, writes one of the site's updaters, Modeler Tripless. It's difficult to put into words the difference he made in this community and in my own life.
Might I offer Blue Bagoo?
His coding and problem-solving skills were unparalleled, but furthermore, he was altruistic to the bone and willing to always lend a hand to anyone that needed help. And with that, a dash of tongue-in-cheek sarcasm and great sense of humor, it's impossible to mod this game and not have heard of Scumbumbo. Rid your fizzwits, modders. Rid your fizzwits.
Disney is a big business. They got movies, TVs, games, comics, theme parks, cruises, and lately they've tried theme cruises like Marvel Day at Sea events, but it's never pretended to set a whole ship in a fictional universe. With the release of Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser in 2021, though, that will soon be changing. Kinda. And we've recently learned through a recent announcement that you'll be able to book reservations for it this year.
Is this a SpaceX collaboration?
Galactic Star Cruiser is, well, it's kind of weird. It's not technically a cruise, but it operates like one, and all the staff pretend that it is. The big difference is, well, you're actually inside an immersive hotel the whole time, and you're supposedly sailing through the Star Wars galaxy instead of the Atlantic or Pacific.
Not on the Starship Titanic, I hope.
Guests stay inside the hotel for 2 days and two nights, while window-like screens display the vacuum of space, supposedly just outside. Rooms are referred to as cabins, and the staff play along with the setting the whole time. It's not like Disney can trap you in the hotel against your wishes, I hope, but you're intended to treat it like an actual cruise, spending most of your time on activities inside the ship rather than leaving regularly.
So it's community theater, literally.
You'll be too busy to care about leaving, with activities including lightsaber training where you can block blaster shots from a remote, tours of the bridge, games involving controlling the ship's defense systems, and, if you are feeling cooped up, excursions to Disney World's Galaxy's Edge, complete with $11 sporks.
May the sporks be with you.
Look, let's be real. It's a LARP hotel, where you pretend to be on a space cruise in the Star Wars galaxy. It mixes elements of Disney's resort, theme park, and cruise line expertise into a single whole.
It's called LARPing. L-Live, A-Action, R-Role, P-Playing, Live-Action Role-Playing. Tons of people LARP.
It's actually not a new concept, as Danish LARP group Rollespilfabrikken regularly holds a similar four-day Harry Potter-style experience in the U.S., while Camp Carrather offers a similar general Ren Faire-style experience.
Then there is the SCA, but that's a whole different thing altogether.
However, it's rare to see such an experience coming from an official source, or companies as big as Disney. They do not specify exactly when reservations will open, or the price of the stay, but it's safe to assume that, like a Disney cruise, food and most entertainment will be included.
Can I upgrade my room by beating someone at Sabacc?
That's a good question. Another is, are folks going to go to Disney to not go to Disney? We'll see. But Disney needs to hurry. I heard Super 8 has already inked a deal to make a Star Odyssey motel cruise.
The fossils of a newly discovered Tyrannosaurus Rex cousin, a vicious meat-eating dinosaur with serrated teeth and a monstrous face that scientists are calling the Reaper of Death, has been discovered in Alberta, Canada.
Whether you're a king or lowly street sweeper, sooner or later you dance with the Reaper.
At 79.5 million years old, Thanatourisus degradurum is the oldest known named dinosaur on record from northern North America, a region which includes Canada and the northern part of the western United States, as many United Statesers often forget. Researchers have this new discovery. It's also the first previously unknown Tyrannosaurus species to be discovered in Canada in 50 years.
It was the protector of Ziox, in case Rosdower was sick.
And was it, like, really friendly to the other dinosaurs? It was Canada.
T. degradurum lived during the Cretaceous period, the last period of the dinosaur age, which lasted about 145 million to 65 million years ago. It had a mouthful of steak knife-like teeth that were more than 2.7 inches long. From snout to tail, the dinosaur measured about 26 feet, that's 8 meters if you're cool, or about the length of four king-sized mattresses lined up end to end.
I'm sensing a sequel to Deathbed, The Bed That Eats.
The researchers have only two partial skulls and jaws of the newfound Tyrannosaurus, so they couldn't estimate its mass, as the hind limbs are needed for that calculation, but the unearthed fossils were enough to define the creature as a newfound species, they said.
What if he just had piercings?
He wasn't as huge as a T-Rex, which lived about 12 million years later, but his discovery shows that Tyrannosaurs weren't all colossal hypercarnivores like T-Rex, but there were many subgroups that had their own domains and their own unique body types and probably hunting styles during the very latest Cretaceous period. So not quite as big and bad, but still a very intimidating creature. But if you keep your head, we can do just as well as Grant and Malcolm and Star-Lord, and we can all be like they are. Don't fear the Reaper! GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Romeo and Juliet, together in eternity, because they got eaten by a dinosaur. We can stop this. We can prevent that from happening. Drop us a note, won't you please, and see if we can get some funding for Bill's project. It's a podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course you can send a voicemail simply by dialing
510-GRD.
I mean, why not?
We haven't heard your guys' voices in a while.
I know.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you. Mwah, love you.
If you'd like to be a contestant, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to ICS Talent Hunt, air of your local affiliate, and then go out and do something really despicable.
Oh, why aren't they doing tomorrow's new dance steps the way they used to yesterday?
draws a perfect circle anymore.